Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I am grateful that you're with us again. Landon was just sharing in our last episode, we have over 20,000 listens to our podcast so far, and we're grateful that it's growing. Thank you for sharing it and passing the word on. I get phone calls and talk to people regularly, and they say they've listened to a number of the sessions of our podcast, and they're finding them very helpful. So Elena, thank you for doing this with me. I'm grateful that we can continue to help parents.
Yeah, it's really a blessing. And I was also surprised to see how many listens we have. I think we don't realize how amazing the power of God is sometimes. And maybe we get bogged down into the small things that we need to do. But I know that God works in the hearts of many families through our podcast, not because of us, but because of how amazing his word is and how helpful and how powerful his word is and at work in the hearts of our children and of our family. So we are glad to do this, Dr. Scott. I'm sure you also are, and we are so thankful for your time. Today, I want to take us back to week four, where we've done two other episodes. On week four, we focused on teaching, we focused on talking about specific solutions, and today I want to focus on prayer, because as you mentioned, prayer is such a crucial part, and not only of our daily life, but also in relationship to the biblical parenting course and program. And I would really love to hear, Dr. Scott, why and how do you see prayer to play a part in the parenting program from the beginning towards the end, until the end and further?
Well, our goal in the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program is to help children change. We're trying to develop character in them, change the bad thinking patterns they have, the bad actions they have, the attitudes that they have, to something that's more productive. And if you're going to consider a biblical model for change from God's word, then you're going to have to come to spiritual resources, because they are the most powerful way that that children change, or anybody changes. And so I call it prayer, but that's sometimes misleading. But I'll tell you why I call it prayer. We could have just called it spiritual resources. But when I say prayer, I don't mean just praying for your kids, although I think that's a great idea. I'm not even saying praying with your kids, although I think that's a good idea too. What I'm trying to do here is recognize that God's grace for change often comes when we connect with our Heavenly Father and receive His grace. And that often takes place through prayer, where we just say, Lord, I want to ask you to help me deal with this fear problem I have. Or Lord, help me to be calm in my anger. Or Lord, help me to be more tolerant or patient with my brother or sister. When children access God's grace through prayer, then it changes them, and God certainly solves problems for us, but He often works in our hearts to bring about change inside of us, not just to solve the problems that exist out in our world. So knowing what prayer is, knowing how to connect children directly to God's grace, is the key. And I think that we want to make sure we can take advantage of this spiritual resource that God has given to us, of prayer and so on, in order to bring about change in children.
Yeah, I actually am having in front of me one of the handouts we're giving to parents when we're going with them through our parenting program. And I really like how you call here what we're saying prayer. You're calling it here ways to connect kids to God's power, and that indeed goes beyond the prayer per se. You speak here about being transparent, us being transparent as parents when we're praying, you know, sharing God's sightings or the lessons we've learned, but also to ask the question, for example, what did you see God do today? Which it's such a important question, which we probably sometimes miss to ask, as well as to share conviction. You mentioned in our previous episode about the fact that our children have a lot of beliefs in their hearts, and a lot of sometimes we as parents don't always are aware of them. And it's good when we speak to our children, it's such a sometimes so important to let them mention that, and also for us to mention that. Dr. Scott, what are some of these ways that you mentioned here, but also some of the other ways that you saw parents work. How do you recommend parents to, let's say, get started? Or maybe we have parents who read the Bible sometimes or pray. But how can we go a bit deeper?
Okay, so let's start with three basic things that all families need to be doing. And let's just talk about those. Those are prayer, reading the scriptures, and being a part of a church. Mm-hmm. The reason those three things are important is because God speaks to us and imparts his grace to us in those three ways primarily. And so when it comes to prayer, we're going to teach our children how to pray, not just memorized prayers that they make, but we're going to sit together with them and we're going to talk about what we're going to pray about, and then let's pray together. We're not just in correction times, we're just praying in general. That's going to be so important for kids to be able to talk to their Heavenly Father, and that's learned in a relationship with parents. So what we're trying to do is teach children how to pray. Now, some parents will say, well, I don't feel comfortable praying out loud. Well, my response to that is get over it. Okay, it's got to be something you're doing. You don't have a One of the great things, you have children, so you can pray out loud with children, and you can communicate to God as a model of what your children need. So I know it's hard sometimes for people who've had a private faith to make it more transparent, but praying out loud is just part of what we do in helping our children to grow and for them to understand prayer and to appreciate it. So praying is important. I think praying and thanking God for things regularly is good. Praying and talking to God and asking him for things is helpful. So I just think we're going to do a lot of that as we're working with our children. Now, the second thing is reading the scriptures. And this is so important because sometimes parents will sit and read the Bible to their kids. I don't think that's wrong, but let's do something more that's childlike. You know, let's teach our children like Jesus did his disciples. Mm-hmm. For example, let's use creativity and life experience to work with our kids so that, when Jesus, he didn't sit around the table and read the Bible to them. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but the kids learn through activity. The disciples were on the road and Jesus would talk about seed that was planted on different kinds of paths, or he would talk about a fig tree and see how it all was withered. And he would talk about he told stories about a man on a road and he got beat up. And so he used activity. Life experience he used. He had the disciples out there passing out the food at the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, he could have just said, everybody stand back, just like in the Old Testament. We're gonna watch God bring down manna from heaven. But he doesn't do that. He uses the disciples as his vehicles for bringing about change. And so I think we need to do that. If we're going to disciple our kids or we're going to help our kids grow in their faith, then it means we're going to help them get to know God's word, which is so helpful and powerful. Mm-hmm. Psalm 19 just talks about so many different ways that the Bible can help us. And then it ends the passage by saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So they're going to change us. That's why we hide God's word in our hearts, so we won't sin against you. Children need God's word inside and they learn it through activity. I remember when I was 4 years old, my dad was teaching me in devotions that night about Jesus being the light of the world. And in the middle of that, it just struck me because we had devotions in the dark, in the closet with a flashlight. And he was shining this flashlight and he was saying, this is Jesus. And we're like mirrors that shine him around. I still remember that. So I think activity is one of the greatest ways that we can empower our children to understand the Lord. And then going to church, I think, is really important. You know, some teenagers say, well, I think it's boring. I'd say, well, go make it interesting. I mean, whether it's boring or not, you're going to go to church because God speaks to us at church. So it's not optional. You can't say to any child, oh, if your heart isn't in it, then you don't need to go to church. No, we all go to church. The reason we go to church is because that's where God speaks to us. That's what God wants us to do. And that's how we can serve other people. So it's a great tool for our children to be exposed to other people, other kids, other adults who are trying to live the Christian life and understand them. So those three basic ways are crucial for our children. There could be other ways, but let's start there and make sure that we've got those things moving in the right direction for our kids.
let's say there is a family who says, well, I do all these three, and we're pretty kind of settled in our ways, but we feel that we're in a bit of a routine and maybe we don't have that deeper connection, or we don't have that director connection, or we feel that, you know, we're a bit out in terms of having more specific ways in which to connect our children to God. What would you answer to that family?
Yeah, I think that parents can do a lot to influence spirituality in the home. I think there's a lot of talking about it, not just ritual. We pray before bed and pray before meals. But there's just pausing every once in a while and saying, hey, could we just pray about this? Or I'm feeling tired today and I just have so much to do. Would you pray for me, son, that I can do what I need to do? You're going out and taking that test today at school. I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you. So I think spiritual transparency is really helpful and important. I think family service, where we're so much time and energy today is spent on kids having fun, you know, getting involved in their sports activities or music activities or extracurriculars or play dates or parties or whatever. And it would be so valuable if parents would declutter their schedules a little bit, make room for service time so we can go out and contribute at the workday at church, or we can go to the neighbors and make some cookies for the neighbors, or, you know, we can do something that is contributing to the lives of other people in behalf of Jesus Christ. So if we can take on those kind of things, our children start to picture us. Our family has a DNA of Jesus all over it. It's not something we just talk about on Sundays, but we're involved in our own lives as Christians serving the Lord. How can we do that in our lives? I remember one family was telling me, this is Nathan Joyner. He's one of the coaches that I trained, and he also wrote this story in a book I'm putting out. And he says, in their family, he's telling the story. He says, one of our daughters was doing the wrong thing. I told her she had to go take a break. She went to her room and she was pouting there and she was stuck. She wasn't coming out. And so I called everybody else together and I said, you know, so-and-so, this girl is, she's stuck and I don't know what to do as a dad. What do you think we can do? And can we just pray? And one of the other girls said, I know what we could do. I think this is what God wants us to do. I think we should take dessert up to her and we should all get on her bed and tell her how important she is to this family. Mm-hmm. And so they did it. And this girl recovered. And it was just such a special spiritual exercise for that family. I so appreciate the Joyner family, and they've contributed in this book one story about their family in every chapter of the book, because I just value all the things they're doing to produce this sense of spirituality that we are believers. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so they said no to some sports activities because it required that they play those sports on their holy day. And so they said no. I just think they're demonstrating their convictions. They're talking about them. All of that is going to empower our kids to be more aware of the presence of God and the power of God in their lives. I think telling Bible stories is exciting too. I mean, I think we ought to tell kids the story of Daniel, who prayed even though the government said you can't do it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what's the lesson we learned from that? Well, we're going to obey God even when the government says no. Or the opposite is true too. The government says you have to do something, but it's against God's law. So Daniel's three brave friends, they didn't bow down to the image when everybody in the government said, oh, you have to bow down. They said, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that because we obey God. So the reason we tell those Bible stories to kids is because they're relevant to today. How are our kids going to respond in life situations when they face the same challenges of Joshua or Joseph or Noah or Paul or Mark or Andrew or Peter or any of these people? You know, our kids face the same kind of challenges. How can we help them to trust the Lord in the difficulties of things? So all of that coming to bear helps kids connect with God. And when they connect with God, it changes them. And of course, that's what brings the major change in a child's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Really, I do. I think it can sometimes, indeed, we can become so cluttered by so many things that we have, and we're just falling into the same old habits of things that we do without really looking outside and trying to be looking a bit more deep into how we can spend our time in ways that we know already that we could do, helping others, being open to our children, praying together in more in settings which are not necessarily the same as we always do. So I think that's so important, Dr. Scott. Thank you so much for those reminders and also the encouragements there. And I also want to encourage parents who don't have perhaps yet a church home, or they don't have what you mentioned in the beginning, a certain routine about reading the Bible and or about praying. It's good to be getting started somewhere, you know. It's important for your children's development, for their own development towards God to have that. So we really want to encourage parents to go ahead and find ways in which they can accomplish that for their children as well. Dr. Scott, let's focus a bit on how do we prepare ourselves as parents to go a bit more into, let's say, the teaching or giving our children more food when it comes to the Bible. So you mentioned about reading, you mentioned about going to tell them stories, but I think it's also important not only to tell them those stories, but also to go with them through the meaning of those stories. And last time we spoke in our last episode about teaching. And I think now it's a good way to combine these two and to talk about how could we not only give them those stories, but also talk about the theology behind it, you know, the things that we should help our children see beyond perhaps the story of David or Moses. How could we do that in a way that it's age appropriately, but also that equips our children with, you know, with the right knowledge about the Bible, and that can be used sometimes against all sorts of teachings that come from the world?
That's a great question. I love the children's Bibles that tell the Bible story in a childlike way and then ask questions at the end of the chapter and end of the story for that day that are relevant questions that just, they take you through the process. That's what I like. I mean, now we do have tools at the National Center for Biblical Parenting called the Family Time Activities books that take passages of scripture and show you how to teach them in really fun ways to your kids. So those books, Family Time Activities books, if you just go to biblicalparenting.org, look up, just go down to the site map at the bottom, the black site map, and look at spiritual resources, and it'll give you a whole list of things that you can use. And I find that the family becomes this place where not just kids are learning, but parents are learning as well. So we're all learning about the Bible, growing, because it's interesting that the scripture applications apply to a teenager, they apply to a preschooler, they apply to a parent, they apply to everyone. And we just have to find those applications and ask the questions, what's the lesson learned here in this story? We ask the question, what's the lesson learned? We come to those great answers that our children need to hear.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I like that. And I was actually on your website looking at books with activities for children, precisely what we just mentioned earlier. And they are indeed, I was looking at under the kids curriculum on the blackboard there at the bottom of your screen, and there's a lot of books there that combine activities with teaching from the Bible. Very good, Dr. Scott. Let's go into a bit of a situation. I want to talk about age, more towards the teen age, or times in which we have perhaps a harder time to connect with our children spiritually, because they are a bit older. Maybe they are having friends, or they are having a life that's not as close to the Lord as we would like it to. And it can be discouraging for parents sometimes, even if, let's say, we raise them in a way that's closer, or we wanted them to be closer to God, but it doesn't look that's happening. Dr. Scott, what encouragement do you have for these parents, and how would they get started in a way that's going to help them, let's say, get their kids to connect a bit more on that side with God?
There are two things I want to say. One is, if a child's really resistant to spiritual things, then you're a missionary in your home. And if you remember the story about in Luke chapter 9, in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus went over to the Gentile area. There was a man possessed by a bunch of demons, and they left him and went into the pigs, and the man was sitting, and he was in his right mind. Those words "right mind" are really interesting, because that's what Paul told Titus: teach the young men to be self-controlled. It's the same thing. Don't be controlled by others, or demons, or video games, or anger, or something else. Be controlled. Be self-controlled is what he's saying. Paul is saying. But this man was sitting, and he was self-controlled or in his right mind. And then the man wanted to come with Jesus, and Jesus said, "No, you stay here and tell other people what God has done in your life." That is the same message that we all need when it comes to living in a home where other people are not embracing the faith like we are. We're going to display our faith. It's part of who we are. We're going to talk about it. We're going to pray for other people. We're going to share Bible verses we've learned. We're going to tell what we learned in the sermon on Sunday. We're just going to express a joyful expression of God's grace because of what we're learning in our Christian life. So we're going to be transparent with our faith. But the other thing I want to say is this: if you have a child who made a profession of faith at 5, 6, or something like that, and now they're 13, they are in danger, because they can easily think that now I've grown out of that decision I made when I was 5. Now I'm 13. I'm older now, so I've grown out of it. And it's very important that we help children take their faith into each stage of their development. So a 5-year-old, that child turns 7 years old and starts thinking abstractly, they need to be able to take their faith into that next stage of development. Then when they turn 9 and 10, when they're starting to develop their own convictions and starting to see their own ideas and sometimes react to their parents, they need to be taking their faith into that developmental stage. And then when they get to be teenagers and they're developing this autonomy, they need to be taking faith into their own stage of development. If they don't do that, they will feel like they grew out of it. And the same thing is true for us as adults. If we're not bringing Christ into every new day, it's going to get stale. We're going to feel like we've grown out of it, when really the scriptures are alive every day. And our relationship with Christ is so vital to keep us going. We need that, and we need to be connected to the Lord regularly. So whether your child's not receptive at all, or your child is losing their receptivity, the goal is get them back to the faith. Get them to see that the truth is really found in Jesus Christ and living that life for Him.
Yeah, and that's where it also comes together, what we started our conversation with, and also the previous times, Dr. Scott, about all the components, such as building a strong relationship, getting to get to know our children more, getting to connect with them on other levels, and everything works together in that way, so we can indeed help them get to a closer relationship with God as well. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for your time today. I would like to close this episode, but not before I want to give you the chance to share one more final thought with our listeners.
Yes, just remember, teaching spirituality starts in the heart of the parent. I would encourage you, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you want to obtain that by asking Christ to come into your life, to say, "I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior, and I want Him to come into my life, and I want to have that personal, intimate relationship with Him." And when you have that, then you have something to share. Then you have something to pass on. But it starts in the relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father, and then it permeates the family, because you're this sweet-smelling aroma in the family that represents Christ. So let's start in our own hearts, and then we'll be able to move it to the lives of our children.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Scott. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We look forward to take you next time through the week 5 of our parenting coaching program, and you'll hear more then. Until then, we really would like to ask you to share this episode with other parents of those who you might think could benefit from listening to it. And don't forget to rate us as our episode as well in our podcast, so more parents can find it when they're searching. Thank you so much. God bless you. And until next time.